The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
The new year is the perfect moment to set your family up for success, including finding a school that finally fits the way your child learns. Introducing K-12 Powered Schools, tuition-free, accredited online public schools for grades K through 12. With K-12, students move at their own pace, with state-certified teachers who bring lessons to life through interactive, hands-on technology. If your child needs a school that adapts to them, K-12 can help unlock their full potential. Learn more at k12.com/podcast.
Welcome to Homemaker Chic Podcast 2026. It's been a few weeks, but here we are. We are going to rescue the art of homemaking from the daily grind. Red lips, no jumpers, all year long. Look at us.
Look at us, you guys. Well, actually,
look at us.
To be fair, I'm not 100% sure when the new video is going up. We're coming back to video. We've asked for help. A homemaker knows when she's tapped out.
We told you. We told you good things were coming.
Mm-hmm. What do you guys think? Well, if you can see our backgrounds, we're pretending.
Put your hand like this.
Studio. Shoot.
We're touching.
We're pretending like we're in a studio together and we spent a lot of time just sort of thinking about this season, how we wanted it to feel. We miss each other so much, but we're going to see each other this winter. We haven't yet, but we are going to see each other this winter.
Somehow. 6 years later.
Golly. Isn't that lame, you guys?
That's so lame. Super lame.
But I'm glad to be back. It feels really good. I spent so much break. I know you did too. Just thinking, contemplating, gaining some perspective, resting the mind.
It was by far one of the best holiday seasons I've ever had. It was by far the best break I've ever had. I don't know what was going on, but everything just felt so good. I got a lot done. I didn't do a lot. It was just like this perfect combination of getting things organized and of doing and not doing. It was the perfect combination of doing and not doing. And I hit the ground on Monday, the 5th, feeling like that was excellent. And now I can proceed. I just don't remember such a clean, great feeling on Monday, on the Monday, ever.
Yes. Yeah. It honestly, it felt the same here. There was one day I didn't wear a bra for like 3 days in a row.
I didn't wear a bra for 3 weeks.
Bless your heart.
Three days.
It was so fun. You know, for all we complain about screens dividing families, which they very much can do, I feel like our screens actually sort of worked to unite us a little bit over the break, because we sat and we watched Christmas Day. We had brunch with my parents and my sisters and their families, and it was lovely. Everyone kind of parted ways mid-afternoon. Okay. And we came home, everybody put on their pajamas, and we watched this show called like Wild Nordic on National Geographic for like 6 hours. And it was just on traveling, you know, in Norway and Sweden. And it was fantastic. And we just sat by the fire and ate snacks on the couches. It honestly felt luxurious. It felt luxurious.
We played NASCAR.
Mm.
video games. I mean, same thing, like the screen, like where it was bringing everybody together, mm-hmm. just the screaming and hollering and mm-hmm. laughing and bravado.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So fun.
It felt so fun. It did. It felt really, really fun. And I took on the challenge of doing just like a few little projects that I wanted to do, not that I felt like I had mm-hmm. to do. So there's no way I'm going to turn my camera to show you this right now because it took us 45 minutes to get set up today. But
right,
I turned a whole half of a wall in my office to basically a gigantic bulletin board. And I just put a whole collage and collection of some postcards, letters, Mother's Day cards that the kids have given me, you know, posters that I've collected, sticky notes. I just turned it into this like beautiful little completely changeable space mm-hmm. to sort of follow the mood, follow the season. Like that, it took me, you know, an hour, but it was right. so fun.
Are you going to use that for like to-dos mm-hmm. or is it just an inspo board? Because mine's combined. It's got, hey, here's this bill and then here's a sweet note from your grandma.
It's both. Yeah. And I okay. accidentally, Stu's like, what are we going to, I accidentally ordered 12 clipboards instead of six. So he's like, well, the next time I take up a coaching gig, we'll be set. I'm like, I don't really need 12 boards, but you know, the boards will hang just on a safety or on a push pin.
I love them. I've got, yeah. Did so you get the acrylic? I got the sexy acrylic with the gold.
No, I love the cork. I love the cork. So, no, just old school. Here's my like running to-do list for this, or here's a work mm-hmm. project that I kind of needed to brain map out. And then they're just there. And I can either take them down and move them, or I can look at them from here. And there's just these small little victories. I am in the season of small victories, in case anybody else is too. This is not the season where we're gutting things or ripping up floors. We're nope.
I do that. You know, you said you ordered 12. Do you do that on Amazon? I do that all the time on Amazon. I order two on accident. Like,
yeah, I mean, I did order these on Amazon.
I do it all the time. I don't know if I put it in my cart and then I think I have it and then I double click or something. But even this year for Christmas, two giant Lego train sets came.
Oh,
well, there's a $200 credit
Christmas.
I could really use.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Yeah. I wondered why that bill was so dang high. Mm-hmm. Good grief.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you guys, this is a whole episode. But a couple of months ago, I decided that I was really just going to our home finances. I've always been pretty good about organizing them. I think just that those years of doing Dave Ramsey, Dave Ramsey, they sort of create these habits in you. But somebody recommended Rocket Money to me. I think we talked about this a little bit last season. Mm-hmm. Rocket Money will send you emails. It will be like, hey, don't forget you have that reoccurring charge that's going to be coming out in 3 days. Like it lets you know before these things come out, or it'll be like, it'll send you these little email like, hey, just so you know, you're halfway through your grocery budget. Halfway. You might want to slow spending down. It's January 2nd.
Oh my gosh. I don't know if I'd like that. Lay off. I'm starving.
It's incredibly helpful.
Okay.
Slightly judgmental, right?
You're trying to like, I don't know, I'm trying to like reduce notifications and overstimulus.
I know, but
okay.
But my point was like, how often do you put your card in for something and then you forget?
What?
Why is there a thumbs up bubble on?
What just happened?
I don't know why that happened. Oh, the whole video spiel, you guys are going to have some grace with us. Wowza. Look at us. We're trying. I think we look really professional.
I think that's why I said put your hand up because it almost looks like.
Sorry, the other one.
The other
we
one.
Could touch. No. We could touch. Anyway, my point is how often do you have charges come through and you don't know what they are?
Oh my gosh. We have like family drama over that. Speaking of Amazon, middle of the day the other day, Joel texts me. He goes, who just spent $8 at Amazon.fr? I said, well, it wasn't me. I'm not in France.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
I haven't, you know, when I get there, I'll order packing materials and have it shipped to the hotel, you know? And so there was like this whole brouhaha with the family. Who did it? And I said, you know, it's got to be fraud. It's the holidays. Tis the season.
Okay.
So then calling Capital One and blah, 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 blah. Well, then it comes out. We tried to get a VPN. We tried the whole VPN experience a few months back.
Yeah.
And it totally jacked up our Amazon Prime. We don't have the service anymore. We've unplugged the machine. We've reset the account. Whatever. Everything still shows up in euros on our Amazon Prime. I got the stupid VPN number because there's just this movie I saw on the plane on the way to France 1 year, and I just wanted to watch it. And I thought, well, I'll get a VPN, and then I'll find a way to watch this movie.
Yeah.
So it turns out, like, the kids rented Elf somehow.
In France.
France. I don't even know, but honestly.
Yeah. I was looking into getting a VPN because I've been trying to practice by watching shows. And as you can imagine, there's not that many Italian shows on Netflix. You know, it's not that widely spoken. And people are like, oh, it's so easy. I looked it up. I was like, that doesn't seem easy to me.
No, I was 20 minutes in. I'm like, get this thing off my computer. This is too much. too much.
Okay, this season... ladies and gentlemen, we're going imperfectly chic for a season of real homemaking. The irony about us going imperfectly chic is that as we were planning out some episodes, some things that we wanted to talk to you about, I happened to stumble upon this article about digital modesty.
Digital modesty.
I love this term. I want to do a whole episode on it.
Okay.
Digital modesty. Like, maybe hold some back. Maybe just hold some back. You know, just like you hold back some of your body at the beach. Maybe let's hold back some of our thoughts and some of our secrets and some of our, like, inner things for the people around us, maybe.
It's not all for public consumption. So many people could do well to... remember that.
The problem is, I'm just sitting here talking to you, doing this podcast I've done for 6 years. So, like, the newness, maybe some of the filter isn't there like it was in the beginning.
Just the tempering of nerve, like the nerves temper you a little bit. We're not really nervous doing this anymore.
No, I'm not nervous doing this.
Yeah.
And we know our audience. Hello. So many of them have been with us since the beginning. And homemakers generally are just awesome people. Like, they're really fun people and they're really nice and they're very normal. You know, it's not like we have a political talk show.
Right.
No, we're just talking to a bunch of homemakers. So anyway, I just thought it was funny. It's like imperfectly chic. Let's tell you the real things behind the scenes. And then I read this article that was like, maybe don't. Maybe you don't need to talk about your dirty underwear in front of thousands of people.
I'll pass. I did Google today, though, how many hot flashes a day are normal.
Okay.
Inquiring minds would like to know.
Speaking of hormones, let's take a second to say thank you to, I don't know what season this is, the new season of Homemaker Chic. Your support of our advertisers is what keeps the podcast on the air. So if you find value in what we do, take the time to support them. Take the time to shop. Tubes is with us for another season. Listen, we're so intentional about what we feed our families. We source good meat. We grow our food. We filter our water, et cetera, et cetera. And then we slather on a bunch of mystery chemicals, which is our body's largest organ. Let's not do that. As always, God bless Tubes. They're offering listeners of Homemaker Chic podcast 10% off your first order with the code Homemaker Chic. So don't stop your home detox at your makeup and your skincare. Instead, look for transparent ingredients, no harsh additives, no preservatives or chemicals, fragrances. This is not health food store skincare. This is luxurious skincare, and you can shop tubesandco.com. Use the code Homemaker Chic, all one word, for 10% off your first order.
Brilliant. Health food store skincare smells like carob.
Patchouli.
Carob and patchouli. I am traumatized. My mom scarred me for life with carob. I can't smell it without just, oh, it's really bad. In the same vein, as Shay used to say when we started the show.
I still say it.
Okay. Visit branchbasics.com/homemaker chic for 15% off a starter kit. The reason you want to do this is because this company is bringing you and I non-toxic, hypoallergenic cleaning products that are free of fragrance, hormone disruptors, preservatives, and it's baby and pet safe, which is so cool. The idea is that you get a bottle of concentrate and then you make your own cleaning products. Easy peasy. A few drops in one bottle, a few drops in another, and it will last you so long. I swear by this cleaner concentrate. I can't wait for you to try it. You need to visit branchbasics.com/homemaker chic. They are going to treat you to 15% off any starter kit when you use the code HOMEMAKERCHIC at checkout.
And last but not least, this is the time of year when we are spring cleaning. We're going out with the old, in with the new. If you need to dress your bed, do so with American Blossom linens. Get rid of your stained, nasty sheets. Replace it with sheets that are made with Texas-grown cotton, made right here in the United States. And that doesn't even stop there. They have quilts, baby blankets. They are delicious and breathable. Very important in sheets. You can shop American Blossom linens and use the code HOMEMAKER2026, all one word, for 15% off.
Perfect. Breathable. I need breathable sheets.
Breathable. Breathable. Stu rolled over on me this morning and like, sorry, TMI. His arm like, under my shirt.
Digital modesty.
Sorry. He's my husband. You know, just like he was just curling up to me. So he slips his arm underneath my extra large sweatshirt I was sleeping in. And he was like, geez, I was just sweating. It's been a hard winter to gauge. You sleep hot sometimes.
Yeah, it's warm here.
Yeah, it's really warm here. It's so I like bundle all up at nighttime when it's cold. Mm-hmm. And then I sleep and I'm like, golly. So you having some hot flashes, Angela? You having some?
Yeah, I kind of thought I was going to escape that because, you know, I have friends that they started that, hot flashes, a long time ago. And I just thought, oh, I've had one or two over the last few years. And the last couple weeks, ew. I mean, they are for the birds. It's like you're just standing around minding your own business and it's just like, and all of a sudden in between your boobs is just dripping. There's like steam coming off your head. You're like, am I sticky? Like what is happening? It's just, you're on fire. You're like a steam, you're like a radiator. Mm-hmm. And then it stops.
How long does it last for?
I guess I'll go change my bra now because... Like, not long. A minute. Mine are not long. Thank goodness.
Okay. Okay.
Oh, it's so horrible. It's not, I don't like it.
Okay.
Whatever little adjustments I need to make.
Listen, I haven't really heard a ton of women advocate for menopause.
Right.
I think you're in good company.
Yeah. I just, you know, I know there's a lot of humor attached to it, and humor requires an element of exaggeration. Nope.
Okay. Yep. Well, if it makes you feel any better, I think just I appreciate my body doing what it needs to do every month. But the last time I was like, this is for the birds. Like, we're done here. My body's just angry. It's like, we're not pregnant. I'm like, oh, no. I think of my periods. I think of them like my body raging at me. And it's like, we wanted a baby.
Oh my God.
Stay angry 25% of the time. Not what we're talking about today, though. Not what we're talking about today.
I love that you mentioned digital modesty and you're like, Stuart rolled over on me this morning. And when I'm menstruating, it's like,
I'm going to work on it.
I don't care.
You know what? Actually, funny. I'm probably not going to work on it.
Probably not.
In the context of the podcast.
Okay.
I'm not going to probably, you know, I'm probably not going to put it in word form, like on my Substack or something.
Right.
You know, But can
the conversation?
Can we just be amongst friends here?
We're just girls talking.
Yeah, kind of.
Oh, what are we talking about today?
We're talking about trending homemaking trends. Angela wrote this.
Trending homemaking trends. Junior learned the word redundant. He would be like, I think that's redundant.
Some things that are trending for 2026 that, you know, we're not really into. And that maybe sounds a bit negative. But I think, as always, it's helpful to keep the homemaking camp broad. It's going to look different for people. What I've noticed online is that you have a lot of young homemakers coming into it. Like, we are not young homemakers anymore, you and I.
What?
Go back and listen to the last 10 minutes. We're not young homemakers anymore, but there are new and very impressionable homemakers, which is probably why we should be really careful about what we say. I think that they can feel, I know because I've read things that they've written, they can feel like they have to fit into this particular box.
There's some pretty hardcore boxes that people are trying to stuff you in if you are a homemaker, mm-hmm. whether it's like this bougie, well, we're going to talk about it, but you know, like right comes to mind is like the bougie, everything from Amazon, you know, like containers, like we'll go there, right? Or the trad wife, you know, there's like some pretty rigid boxes that when you say the word homemaker, people are pretty desperate to pop you into.
They also are pretty, some of them are pretty quick to pass judgment if you don't fit into the box, you know? And so, interestingly, I think you and I both tend to kind of bridge both gaps. So I just released a YouTube video last Friday, and it was on some kitchen stuff. There was a shot where I'm scrubbing a pan. I get done, and left in the sink is my little scrubby smile daddy scrubber, you know? Mm-hmm.
I love those things.
And Stu's like, do you want me to edit this out? I was like, no. Like, that's the scrubber that I use.
Right.
And I know that aesthetically, like an orange smiley face scrubber in the sink throws some people off, especially online. Right. Yeah. Because there's like this homemaker aesthetic. And listen, this is the season of like imperfectly chic. That does not mean that we just give up. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that we give up. It means that we're living our life. We're more concerned with just living a fruitful, beautiful, blessed, rich life than we are trying to impress people online with what we do.
Or fit a mold. I think, you know, I think the caution too for young homemakers or people coming into homemaking is with social media, seeing these different ways that homemaking is portrayed and thinking like, oh, that's what I got to do.
Exactly. That's what I got to do.
Mm-hmm. I got to wear, you know, a floaty dress and have soft lighting and make tea and everything has to look perfect. There can't be a daddy scrubby in my sink, you know?
That's exactly. Yeah. Have you ever stumbled across that quote? I don't have it in front of me. I wish I did. And it was saying, I wonder why. Oh, gosh, I really want this in front of me. I wonder why my garden doesn't give me any bouquets. And then I realize I cut off every flower as it comes to prove to everyone I'm a gardener. It's something like that. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, but I'm anxious to hear your parallel here.
Okay. Well, I think we can do the same thing with homemaking, right? You make cookies and your first thought is like, oh, I got to take a picture of it and I got to post them and I got to do this and share it and yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. And I know that like that comes from sometimes it just comes from an abundance. Like you're just feeling it. Great. So long as you're not like burdened by it or so long as you don't necessarily feel the need to be like, oh, actually, you know, I have a chipped nail polish on my nail and I don't want to show my hands because that's not like aesthetically pleasing. Or you get frustrated when only, you know, five of your friends comment about what a great mother you are for making cookies with your kids, or you know, there's so many ways that this can go off the rails anytime you try and keep up with the trend. Anytime. So I think my encouragement, homemakers, would be like, just don't even try. Make your own trends. Figure out what you actually like. Not because it's trendy, but because you actually like it.
Mm-hmm.
Because some of this stuff that we listed up, I'm like, yeah, I can get behind this. But anyway, should we go through them?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. So these are
we Googled
of,
this. We Googled,
yes,
like 2024, 2025 homemaking trends,
yep,
that we think are kind of scammy. And then we're going to have some fun and look at maybe some that are positive for this year. Yeah.
Okay. So the first one is the soft chore aesthetic.
I love that. I think that is such brilliant wording. And I will tell you, I mean, I feel this because I see the reels or whatever of like the perfect laundry room and the wicker basket. And it's lovely.
Plaid dress.
Right. The big smock apron, which I have some, right? Yep. And I'm looking at my laundry room like there is nothing romantic about this process. It is nuts and bolts and hairballs. And
it's both.
Yeah. Like,
I think it's both.
I like to iron sheets. Like, there's a pretty aspect to it. But like, the daily act of laundry is not always this romantic, doesn't have the soft chore aesthetic.
No, it right? does not.
That's a little cringy to just portray it like this is how laundry looks. Laundry is period underwear and dirty towels. And you know what I mean? Like, come on. It can be kind of rough.
It can be a little rough. It can be a little rough. Some days, generally, I think homemaking feels incredibly romantic and luxurious. Mm-hmm. And I love those moments. Usually when we have those, Angela and I text each other and we say something like, it's one of those thick, it's palpable.
Yes,
like,
yes,
things
yes.
are good.
Mm-hmm.
Things are good for this moment. I would say that's probably like 7%. 7%.
And those moments are really important because they're kind of like a binder. They're a binder, you know?
Amazing. They're amazing.
You know, with 7 people in the house, I always have to correct myself. I hate that. you know, there's a lot of socks.
Yeah.
Everybody does their own laundry. We have a laundry system. We're locked in, but there's still hairballs and stray socks.
Here's what I would
lots of them.
Here's what I would say. We've watched, everybody probably listening to the show has watched The Great British Baking Show. You know how when somebody makes something and Paul always says, oh, you prioritize style over substance.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that style's unimportant. The aesthetic is unimportant. But like it has to have some substance too, I think, for it to feel real.
Yeah.
For it to feel real. And the reality is, I would say I'm going to just totally make up a number.
Okay.
I'm going to guess that a solid 85% of the people listening to this show do pull some of their homemaker inspiration from social media. That's why we're addressing this. Maybe that 15% who doesn't, they're like, I don't know what you're talking about. But the other, you know, you see this stuff. You see it all the time. You see it.
And it's now, as a creator, it's fun to make. It's fun to make a romantic little snippet of.
I don't want to show you my period underwear.
Right, right. But let's just remember that it is a little bit of a scam. Like, don't feel pressure that it has to look like this romantic thing all the time. Number two makes me laugh.
We're not going to say that word. It's a dirty word.
It is. What's our substitute word?
Minimalist pantry ideals.
Okay.
So, again, bougie. I think of just like bougie Instagram reels where it's like, look at my 18 different types of ice shapes and look at all these containers. The refrigerator organization reels. Yeah, ice shapes. Haven't you ever seen like, oh, I'm a mom and I'm like going to pack my kids' lunches and like, I like to freeze them whole strawberries in these cool dinosaur shaped ice cube trays and then I put them in their water bottle for lunch. And you're like, what?
I'm not that woman. I'm not that cool.
I don't think anybody is. I think they're totally fake. I think they're totally
I want to believe they're fake. Maybe that's a reflection on me and what I can and cannot pull off. But like the pantry with $700 worth of matching containers and mm-hmm. everything is perfect and you got mm-hmm. the cornflakes and whatever. Like I can't. First of all, you know, like our notes say, like my family would annihilate if they had access to food like that.
I have to hide. I have to put like intentionally put it in different containers.
I have to hide snack food. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do.
Yeah. That's kind of ties into number three, which is really like over the top restocking videos. Like I talked about this a lot last season. I gave up a lot of screen time. I just couldn't take it. You know, once I saw people like take the yogurt out of the yogurt containers from the store and like put it in other containers to put in their fridge, I just thought that's fine. But that's like, that's a luxury that isn't involved in daily life here. So yeah. I think you wrote this down, and I think this is exactly the point. It's a high aesthetic appeal, mm-hmm. which is mm-hmm. why homemakers get drawn in, because we tend to be very aesthetically driven people.
Oh my
Super
gosh,
high
I wish.
Aesthetic appeal to open up a yeah. refrigerator, and you're like, oh, look, there's no plastic. There's no store-bought
Brand
containers.
Names.
All
yeah.
your condiments are moved into these bougie
Beautiful.
Bottles. But this is like genuinely very low life, real value.
Mm-hmm.
Very low. Unless you're a refrigerator person. Maybe we have some refrigerator people. Maybe I'll be a refrigerator person when I don't have four children
right.
to take care
Maybe.
Of in this way.
But I think, you know, just going back to, like you said, there's new homemakers, people coming into the fold. Like, it doesn't require that you decant your yogurt.
Decant your yogurt.
Okay. You can be a really good homemaker.
Amen.
And the spaghetti can stay in the box.
Yep. The spaghetti can mm-hmm. stay in the box. I wrote a Substack last week about, I called it, I got 99 problems and the jars are all of them because.
I didn't see that one.
Yeah. I got a jar problem.
The new year is the perfect moment to set your family up for success, including finding a school that finally fits the way your child learns. Introducing K-12 powered schools, tuition-free, accredited online public schools for grades K through 12. With K-12, students move at their own pace, with state-certified teachers who bring lessons to life through interactive, hands-on technology. If your child needs a school that adapts to them, K-12 can help unlock their full potential. Learn more at k12.com/podcast.
That's not the point of what I'm saying. The point is I took pictures of my dirty, nasty, cobwebby, leaky jars of preserves in my cold room and in my root cellar.
Okay.
I'm really trying to not let my work go to waste. All this mm-hmm. work that I've made in the garden. So I'm like, I've got 87 jars of cucumber dill relish. Well, we're having tuna salad every day for lunch. I don't want this to go to waste. Mm-hmm. And I had to fight my own inner whatever desire to impress other people. To like dust the jars, to make it all aesthetically pleasing, especially as a photographer, it was really hard. But I thought, that's not the story you're telling here. You're not, look at my bougie, beautiful jars. That's not what you're trying to say. You're trying to say, I did this work. I don't want it to go to waste. Here's what it looks like in real life. And I'm trying to find ways to use it. That was the story I was telling. And I think that's kind of like a little bit of the heart of what we're trying to get to. Like,
mm-hmm.
That's what exists out in real life.
I mean, I don't mean to be contradicting things we've said in the past, because in the past we've talked about the romance of making a home and finding 100%. Ways to make things beautiful. I just want to be mindful that
it's not everything all the time.
It's not everything. Yeah.
It's not everything all the time. I do take my dish soap out of the plastic container and put it in a little ironstone pitcher that I keep mm-hmm. by my sink. I redo things all the time, but that doesn't improve my value as a homemaker.
There's the crux right there. Yeah.
I just like it. if it's something mm-hmm. I can do within my daily life without like giving up on all the other things I really need to concentrate on mm-hmm. or asking my family to bend to some really crazy visual ideal that I have in my mind that involves them not living here or being consumers of anything.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Cottagecore cleaning. I'm so sorry if cottagecore is your thing. I could never hear that word again and be very happy.
The first time I heard it, I thought, really?
I use the word cottage all the time. My house uh-huh. is a cottage, mm-hmm. actually. I don't like this word. I can't quite figure out why. I think it makes me think of the sad beige kids Instagram feed. That's what I think of as cottagecore. Is that right?
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe. Okay. I don't think that's what cottagecore is. I think cottagecore is like your typical, like you're in the checkout lane at the grocery store and there's like a cottage magazine, you know, and there's gingham fabric on the shelves and...
No, I think it's more beige than that.
Really?
There's so much beige.
God, there's a lot of beige, Shay. Still.
My friend Natalie always sends me Sherwin-Williams Color of the Year.
Gosh.
Every year we just roll our eyes because it'll be just like moon white. Ooh. Ooh, Sherwin-Williams. Soft sand.
Soft sand.
I'm making these up. I'd be a great paint neighbor, though.
Right?
But it's like, what are we doing here? People are so hungry for color. Okay. No, cottagecore cleaning. This is a real viral aesthetic on TikTok, particularly.
Okay.
It means no orange scrub daddies. No Dawn dish soap bottles. Okay.
Just a big brick of lye and
shave the lye off with right. Not a plastic shaver.
That board, you know, that down by the river.
That's right.
You're like
cottagecore cleaning. The wooden brushes, you can only use a wooden, no blue sponges are allowed, right?
I do use wooden brushes, but they're in my shop. So
I don't use them.
I just go to the basement and get a new one when I need one.
There you go. Again. This sounds like we're being anti these things. That's not really what we're trying to say here. We're saying it's okay, homemakers. You don't have to cottagecore clean. That's not a flex. It's not a flex. If you like it, do it. But it's not some grand flex in terms of homemaking.
I do love the word flex. I do want to thank the modern world for inserting that into our vernacular. I find it very useful.
That's a good one.
I can do without core, but I'll take flex.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't know quite what to do with this sort of aesthetic. Like, I don't quite know what to do with it. I think some people actually really do live it and they really do love it. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure some of them are listening now. So I'm not trying to throw shade on you. I'm just saying, you're not less of a homemaker if you use Dawn and a blue sponge. You're fine. Okay? You're welcome.
You should use Branch Basics.
You're welcome here, too.
Yeah, you're welcome here, too. Oh, my gosh. All right. Do we want to switch to this year? Are we done?
Yeah, sure. I don't like being anti things.
Okay.
I'm sorry for starting the season anti-cottagecore. This is where homemaking is going to go, is expected to go this year. We're on the cutting edge, early January.
And I feel like, okay, so this first one, this is my
jam.
This is my realm. I feel like there's been a big crescendo happening for like the last 18 months, but it's looking like cozy maximalism is going to take over.
These articles
take
are
that,
cracking
beige land.
Me up. They're like, turns out, you know, it'll be like Arc Digest or something. Like,
oh my gosh, they're really
out,
like, turns out you guys
better,
like stuff.
A home is better collected than bought. And you're like, ooh, thanks.
I just read a whole article. I think it was on Substack about, who was it? One of those Kardashians or somebody has a new house in Aspen and they tried to make it look old. It was like,
okay,
I think that's what it was. And just like how to do it tasteful and how to have it not look cheesy. I'm over here like, you're late to the party. You're late.
Colors, layered textures, collected things. Like, it's okay. It's okay to have a collection of like seashells that you have collected over the years from your favorite place. It's okay to have real books that you actually read that maybe aren't in the color scheme. Okay.
Remember when people would like turn them around?
Oh my gosh. That upsets people more than me having not read Jane Austen yet. That's another episode.
Turning the books around just so you.
But turning books around, that really sets people off. Don't do that. People don't like that.
I feel like that was a long time ago, but I remember 15 years ago or whatever, where people were turning all their books around.
Yes.
Okay, so the pendulum is swinging hard, praise the Lord, away from minimalism.
Yes.
So you get to have stuff now. I mean, you could all along, but now you,
yeah,
the gods are approving it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You could have stuff.
Color, patterns, fun. Remember, we talked about that word at the end of last season.
Mm-hmm.
Fun is allowed in your home. I, over break, when we were spending all of our time watching Wild Nordic, I was on my phone looking at Facebook Marketplace because I was really looking for a coffee table. I've been keeping my eye out for a coffee table.
Okay.
I was looking at new coffee tables and like very, cheaply made coffee tables can be anywhere from like $500 to $700. I didn't know that. That blew my mind. I just thought.
And I didn't know it had a name. Like it's like fast furniture. There's fast fashion.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And fast furniture. I didn't even know that. I just heard that name the other day. And I was like, oh, that's
makes sense.
So true.
Yeah. I wasn't keen on that idea. And that was just out of the question, that amount. Mm-hmm. So I've just been keeping my eye on Facebook Marketplace. I poke my head in a few times a week. And sure enough, somebody posted this like 4x4 coffee table. And it was wrought iron base. And I was like, that baby is mine. It was $70.
Nice.
And bless Stu, he went and got it for me. Him and the boys went and got it for me. And we brought it into the living room, replaced my little trunk that's been flipped upside down for the last 13 years.
Yeah.
Put a real coffee table in it. And immediately, like, it filled with a plant. It filled with, Owen got Stu this, like, some crazy animal horn. Because he thought, he's like, you could like drink meat out of it. This is what Owen bought Stuart for Christmas. It was the most darling gift I have ever seen. He was so excited to give it to him.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. So we displayed the horn on the table, stacks of everybody's books, stacks of journal, candles, little figurines that we've collected. Like we just filled the table with all these beautiful things that could be moved and shifted and stacked and layered, and it was so lovely. Every time I walk into that room, it makes me so happy. It's cozy maximalism, where people feel like you can curl up on the couch. Here's a basket full of like meaningful blankets, you know.
Right.
Do they match? No. Are they white? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I love this.
I do too.
I love this.
I love, you know, as much as I love my French antiques and everything, I'm pretty whimsical in the things that I also include in my house.
Okay.
Like silly things. Like on my cabinet here, on one side, I have a very, very old like bustier from a theater costume.
Okay.
And then on the other side, I have a very old top hat just hanging from the door with some fairy lights. Like I like the whimsical side of it of maximalism, that you can just include silly things that maybe don't have a purpose. Or, you know, in my living room, I just have some photographs just taped to the wall, just in a little cluster, a few postcards. Mm-hmm. Just, I like I think when you go into somebody's home who likes stuff, you get to know them really well. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love looking at people's books, looking at their coffee table. You see what interests them and.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Number two, though, the expected trend for this coming year is the functional pretty movement. Have you heard about this?
No.
So things are supposed to be beautiful and useful.
Wouldn't it be amazing if beautiful packaging came back?
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, think about, the Victorian Edwardian era. Like, think about when things were actually beautiful.
Yeah.
Just for the sake of being beautiful. But now we're looking at a trend towards function and beauty.
This is more in the vein of having books that you actually read versus books that fit your aesthetic that you just stack up to look a certain way.
Mm.
That's how I kind of interpret this.
Like when Joanna Gaines comes in at the end of the show and pops a few fake houseplants and some books on the shelf.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, but really?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's kind of what it's getting to.
Okay.
Like let functional, pretty, and personality.
Mm.
Like personality, kind of letting that come through. And I think what is beautiful to you in your home is going to be slightly different mm-hmm. than what's beautiful to me in mine, which is going to be slightly than what's beautiful to somebody else. And so when you've curated your home to be beautiful and useful to you, that's where your personality comes out. To me, that's fun stuff. Like looking at, mm-hmm. like you were saying, looking at somebody's art collection or looking at somebody's book collection or looking at somebody's kitchen tells you a lot about that person.
Right. A lot.
Yeah. Oh, look at this. Number three. Okay. Did I even read that before we started?
Right? We just merged them.
Look at
number three is homemaking as a personal style, not a performance.
Okay, maybe that goes back to what we were kind of trying to get at with that mm-hmm. first bit of the conversation is if it's a personal style, go for it.
Right.
Sink in. But if it's a performance.
Like the curated homemaker influencer.
If it's a performance.
The curation where the cringe lies.
I am totally guilty of this. And I think part of it is just figuring out what your personal style is. So, you know, you and I have been friends for almost as long as I have been a homemaker. I had only been married. Mm. And kind of kept a rental home. So it's, you're more mm-hmm. limited in what you can do there for a couple of years mm-hmm. before you and I became friends. You, alternatively, I always say you came out the womb this way. Like your style has been, you've known exactly who you are much earlier than I think a lot of people figure that out.
Hmm.
I think a lot of people are sort of trying to find, what do I like? Like, mm-hmm. what aesthetic do I like? And how do I like to dress? And how do I like to speak? And how do I like to entertain myself? And what hobbies do I actually like? Those are all questions that really shape your home. And I think women are kind of craving things that are real and things that are reflective of them because we get this mm-hmm. awesome opportunity in the home to actually reflect the type of person that we want to be.
Mm-hmm.
We get to put that on full display as homemakers. And so why was I saying that?
I don't remember, actually. As far as the curated homemaker
because I've tried,
influencer.
I went through the thing where I was like, I'm only going to wear dresses. I think that was during the beginning parts of the podcast. I'm mm-hmm. only going to wear dresses. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, but I like wearing jeans. But I thought, okay, time to be this aesthetically to kind of do what you want to do, you should only wear dresses.
Mm.
Well, why? Well, because that's, I guess, what I thought people were saying. I guess I just mm-hmm. thought that those two things had to be associated.
Yeah. And sometimes you probably didn't even necessarily have the thought. Sometimes it's just the exposure.
Yeah.
And it just kind of happens,
mm-hmm.
you know, especially, you know, the social media exposure. Mm-hmm. So,
Or even you go back through and I think about watching Wartime Farm and Victorian Farm and Edwardian mm-hmm. Farm and every season. Oops, sorry, hit my mic. Every new season, Ruth is dressed in very traditional woman's clothing.
Right.
I don't think it's even till Wartime Farm where she might wear her little pantaloons when she's in the garden. I can't remember. But yeah, you just take in this aesthetic. You take it in, you take it in, you take it in. And it does impact. I think like Joanna Gaines is a great example about that. Even if people don't love her style, it has a way of like infiltrating. Mm-hmm. You're just sort of subconsciously taking it in.
Hmm.
So
I really like number four.
Okay.
Number four is the return. Ooh, can you hear that? Number four is the return of good enough homemaking.
Good enough.
And good enough. And it looks like this is already huge on TikTok, which is interesting. Mm-hmm. I do not have TikTok. But
I don't have TikTok either.
Rejecting perfection culture. Mm-hmm. So simpler meal planning, realistic cleaning routines, anti-aesthetic homemaking.
True. I do feel this is, we're walking a line here because we're walking a line here. Because you're right, we always tell people like, no, make it fancy. Light a candle.
Well, that's, yeah. But, okay, yes, do that. But it's not your identity as a homemaker. I mean, it's, again, like, say that isn't the habit you're in. You're the candle lighter. You're the meal planner, the menu planner. You do set the table.
Yeah.
And then there's an illness in the family. Or something causes you, some stressor causes you to have to break with that.
Yeah.
And then you are simple meal planning, or you're using paper plates, or you don't have time to rearrange the furniture and express yourself in the home because you're in survival mode. I guess what I just would want to say is like that is not a reflection on you as a homemaker. So it's not that these things make the homemaker.
Mm-hmm.
Many of these things are wonderful to do, and we talk about them. We encourage doing them to keep interest. Like, yeah. If you're feeling, because there's the other side of the pendulum too, is like the doldrums of homemaking, the monotony, you know. And we often talk about making things beautiful or making things more special to break that monotony.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. So good enough homemaking. To me, this looks like, I think I shared this last season. Right now, I am planning about 36 hours of food at a time. I used to do a month at a time. Not the season for that. So I just put it on a sticky note. That's as complicated as it is. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, breakfast the next day. Do I know what I'm accounting for with all of these? That's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. It's like super, super simple.
Right.
And very, very, like you mentioned, realistic cleaning routines. So gone are the days of, you know, having 6 hour chunk of time to just really detail clean the house. That's like just not where we are right now. I used to love those days.
Well, it was kind of like the kids would wake up from a nap and then it'd be like,
yeah,
Friday midday.
Yes.
And you could say, you want to watch a movie? Because I get another 2 hours. And then there's like a 4 hour chunk of time where you can get your house all clean for the weekend. And no, that's not. I really, really, really struggle to keep the house clean.
Yeah.
And I clean it all the time.
Yep. I do too.
It's shocking.
I do too. We homeschool at our kitchen table or our dining room table. That's the only area that we have. There are people eating all the time. I mean, I must wash 40 mugs a day right now with how much tea people are drinking.
Oh my gosh, with the tea and the mugs. Yeah.
And people think it's fun to like wrap the tea bag string around the handle of the mug. You're like, well, that's really fun for me to take that off of 30 mugs. No, it's, your work just gets undone quickly. So you just have to be realistic. You just got to be realistic about it. You know, that's what I'm telling myself.
Okay.
That's what I'm telling myself. Okay.
Let's
craft revival.
One or two more?
Yeah, okay. Craft revival. I love this.
This?
In a non-ironic way. In a non-kind way.
I have a non-ironic thing, too.
Do it. This is, yeah,
I like
it.
This. Craft revival. So the bullet points here are sewing basics, visible mending, hand stitching, knitting, crocheting, homemade decor. And one of the things I did over break was I got up one morning and I just thought, you know, I live in no man's land. It's really hard to find anything repair wise. And I just Googled sewing machine repair for about an hour and a half from here down in Green Bay. And I found a guy. And that was my day to go grocery shopping. So I pulled up to this house, dropped my machine off, got it cleaned up, tuned up, did my grocery shopping, went to Target, bought a new table because I was like, look, I'm not thrifting a janky table that's going to fall apart. Plus, who knows when I would find one. And I came home and I set up a sewing table in the basement. And I'm giddy. It's all set up. And I'm going to go back to sewing. I don't think I've sewed anything. I have not made a garment in years. And I don't remember the last time I knocked together a curtain. Mm-hmm. Probably 3 or 4 years. And my girls are kind of like, what's going on down there? Mm-hmm. And then speaking of some of the good things that Instagram can do, I found a, you know how like UK Home and Garden does those courses, learn how to be an interior designer, you know? Yeah. Well, they have one, or one of those sort of brands like that has one for alterations. And the idea of knowing how to do my own alterations just makes me like on fire. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to take that and learn how to tailor my blazers. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm.
I think that's a great trend to come back. I think that's so wonderful. I'm in year 3 of working on my scarf. I bought this really beautiful.
Is it a body scarf?
I bought this really beautiful yarn right when COVID hit because I was like, we're all going to be trapped inside. And I bought knitting needles of every size. Mm-hmm. And it was this like incredible yarn, but it's teeny tiny. It's like very thin. And so the amount of stitches that you have to do with super thin yarn, you know, you're using small needles, you're using a ton of knits. So it's going to be like, it's going to be really beautiful when it's done. But I think the appeal to this is for people to keep their hands busy doing something.
Yes. Yep.
And to see those things, you know, as characters and not as flaws in their, in their things. Yeah.
My Substack for the new year was on my two words that I picked for the year. And one of them was analog. Mm-hmm. And so you can see I'm wearing my watch. Mm-hmm. So I wear a watch now. And I really feel like going back to sewing was part of that and this ongoing analog process for me, because this idea of sitting down and doing something with my hands, creating something, something that's a little bit, well, you know, sewing is crazy. It's not cost friendly.
No.
It's
not anymore.
Not at all.
Yeah.
But it's just, I remember like in my heyday when I was sewing, I felt like it had that rhythm of being in the kitchen. And the more you do it, then it's intuitive and you're like anticipating the next move or the result or consequence of the next move. And I just like that. It's got to be good for your brain.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. My mom, bless her, bought me a box of 12 journals for Christmas and a new package of pens.
Wow.
Stuart and I didn't do gifts this year. I didn't do gifts with anywhere. So like this was my Christmas gift, was these 12 journals. Girl, I have a journal for prayers. I got a journal for home projects. I got a journal for Italian. I got a journal for cooking stuff. I got a journal for everything. And I have been sitting very slowly in the morning when I read through my Bible, when I'm having my coffee, and I've been writing my prayers out and just handwriting them. And that practice is like you said, there's got to be something about this that's good for the brain. I mean, how often do you pray and your mind wanders? You start thinking about other things. You get lost in thought. You're just rambling on. You're maybe not really paying attention. If you have like write out pages and pages, your hand starts cramping. Like, you got to be careful about how much you're going on and on.
Right.
Handwriting, even like that, is a craft that people don't really think about anymore. Practicing your handwriting, even thinking about sentences long enough and holding them long enough to slowly write them out, you know, learning a language could be a craft revival, even. So that's a really fun one. Let's finish this out with number 7. I'm so glad this is coming back.
Yeah, I like it.
Kitchen nostalgia. Yes, okay. Please. Yes, please. So this includes like, handmade little pieces, mugs or bowls or things, hand-painted things, quirky things. I don't know about you. Like, we have a very quirky collection of mugs. And it delights me. I love them.
You have what?
A quirky collection of mugs.
Okay.
Even things like retro-inspired appliances people are seeking out. I think, there was like that big trend of just like stainless steel. Just get you that stainless steel and get you those granite countertops. And I think people are looking for a bit more flavor. Little home flavor in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. So like I see a lot of people putting their food out now, bowls of apples, or like putting their flour in canisters or something like that, having these things kind of easily accessible, whereas before it was like hide all the food, hide everything that you use. The only thing left out would be, your KitchenAid or something on the counter.
Yeah.
So this is a fun one to me. Warning. Unless this is your style, this can go bad granny a little bit.
It can go bad granny. And I have a very cozy kind of old fashioned kitchen. Everything is out. It's a lot to clean.
Yes. It's a lot.
Just
to clean.
Saying.
Yep. I'm kind of in between both. I don't have nearly as much out in my kitchen as you do, but I have like 2 cupboards total. So I have to be very pragmatic about how things are put away,
Yeah, I don't have any cupboards yet. So that's why everything's out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you actually use your kitchen, you have to be realistic about... You have to be realistic. I'll just put it that way, and get aggressive about it. But copper is back, floral, linen... I'm all about it. I think it's great because I do think people, I think those things make people happy. They're very human. They're very human things. Okay, ladies, we're so glad to be back with you. Thanks for being with us. Episode one. I think you keep track of the seasons. I don't keep track of the seasons.
Okay.
So
it's season 27.
Season 27. But our theme is we're almost in a...
Imperfectly chic.
Yes.
That's what matters.
Yes. We will share your comments this season. We just haven't sorted through all of the ones that came through over the break. So please leave them over on Apple and over on Spotify. That way we can grab them and share them if you have something you want to share with the audience or if you want to comment on something that we're talking about. That's a really fun way to connect with us over there. You can share the episode, leave reviews, et cetera, while you're there, wherever you listen to your podcast. We're excited. We're excited to be back. We're looking good. We got our backgrounds. We got new microphones. We got new cameras. We got help.
Yay.
So we're looking forward to a really good season together. So thanks for being here, and we'll be back with you next Monday. Cheers.
Cheers.
The new year is the perfect moment to set your family up for success, including finding a school that finally fits the way your child learns. Introducing K-12 Powered Schools, tuition-free, accredited online public schools for grades K through 12. With K-12, students move at their own pace, with state-certified teachers who bring lessons to life through interactive, hands-on technology. If your child needs a school that adapts to them, K-12 can help unlock their full potential. Learn more at k12.com/podcast.